This is episode number 25 of the Interactive Distractions Podcast for the week of May 12th, 2008. Sorry we're late. That rhymed. It's time for me to talk. Okay, so short show this week, but we more than make up for it in a very lengthy segment on Grand Theft Auto 4. Also, in the mailbag, the gauntlet has been thrown down. We receive our first public challenge from a listener. We announce our new question of the week, and, well, actually, that's about it.
Hello, and welcome to a very late episode 25 of Interactive Distractions.
We're tardy.
What's that?
We're tardy.
We're tardy, yeah, we are. I am Chris Ferriccio, and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello.
And Jeff Torney.
Right here.
And, well, we're a little late.
Why is
that,
Chris?
We have lots of reasons. We usually record on Thursdays, and... What happened last Thursday, Jason?
What did happen last Thursday? Oh, Radiohead happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, come on, it's Radiohead.
Yeah,
I don't really like Radiohead that much. But
I was actually going to give you shit. I was going to be like, at least if you saw a good band, I could, you know, let you get away with it. But
No, this I actually bought the tickets for my wife as like an early birthday present like a couple months ago. So, and then it dawned on me, it's like, oh, wait, that's Thursday. That's weird. Why is Radiohead playing on a Thursday, not a Friday or Saturday or something?
It's a conspiracy against Interactive Distractions.
You think?
Yep.
Yeah,
the podcasting gods didn't want us to record.
Exactly.
Correct.
And that's pretty much how it worked out, because Sunday we were like, oh, yeah, early afternoon works. And, of course, Sunday was Mother's Day. And my Mother's Day plans ended up getting canceled because my mom wasn't feeling well, so we're doing it this Sunday. Mm-hmm. So 1 o'clock became 2:30 because of me. And then it became after 5 because of Jason. And then it became after 6 because of Jeff.
Because of me. Yep.
And then it became...
It's all of our faults.
Right. It's everybody's fault. So, you know, it's 8 o'clock. We're trying to get things rolling. 9 o'clock runs around. We're about to start. And Jason starts getting muffly. And he goes to, like, restart Skype. And as soon as he logs off, my power goes out. And
it was literally that exact second. Because right when Jason logged off, I was like, Chris is still there. And Chris wasn't there, so I'm like, all right, maybe he's just going to call me back into the call in a second. Then I'm like, ooh, Chris isn't online anymore.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I still don't know how you can blame it on me, though.
It's all your fault, dude.
Because you went and saw Radiohead.
Knock out your power. Oh, okay. Fair enough. All right.
But yeah, so now, and of course, we couldn't record yesterday because I had a Georgia Force game, which is Arena Football League.
If it was NFL, I could, you know, excuse
dude,
that, but come on.
Last night was the best football game I have ever watched ever.
Oh, really?
Yes. 21 points down with 3 minutes to go when the Force came back and won. That's all I have to say. It was pretty freaking amazing. They ended up winning 63-62.
Not a lot of scoring in arena football, eh?
No, not at all. Anyway, Jason, how you doing, man?
I'm really frustrated and a little tipsy right now. I'm tipsy because of the earlier frustration. our site getting hacked thing driving me to drink heavily. Just tonight, though. But I think we're okay now. We'll see. I don't know. I don't want to get into it because it's just like I'm really pissed about it. But yeah, we've had a lot of problems with our site as of late. Somebody hacked it, and you know, I've been trying to clean it up for about a week now, I think.
And the thing is that the hack doesn't really hurt.
It doesn't do anything
much.
Really.
All it does is it fucks up our RSS feed on iTunes. So you can't, you know, the RSS feed is invalid, so you can't get it directly, you know, through the feed.
Right.
You can still download it. It doesn't do anything to anybody's computer that we've heard, and it's just an annoyance.
So you know what? You probably shouldn't have said that, because you know what's going to happen now. If the dude who did that is listening, or dudette, depending, male or female, it's going to be like, what? It doesn't do anything. I'll show you, motherfuckers. And then next thing you know, the whole thing's going to crash, and this will be no more.
Well, no, according to our host, he thinks it's a... an exploit that was in WordPress the version before that we were using, and we've upgraded to the latest version, so that exploit has been removed. So hopefully we're okay now.
Yeah, fingers crossed. That now.
Yeah, so all you people that were trying to get the episode 24 on Monday through iTunes and you couldn't, that's why.
Right.
We finally figured out what was going on by Wednesday, and most people were able to get it through iTunes at that point.
Yeah, if you guys do have any problems, give like me or Chris a PM on VG or something like that. We'll get it fixed right away.
Exactly.
Because this thing keeps popping up every, you know, it's sporadic, but you know, I'm working on a permanent solution. I'll say that.
And the worst part is that if you Google us, it says this website can harm your computer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you fuckers. No, it can't. So, yeah, it's an annoyance. Anyway, Jeff, how are
you? Anyway.
Oh, a lot better than you guys.
Apparently.
That's why I'm glad I don't work with that technical kind of shit, because, yeah, I'd probably be pulling my hair out. Doing okay. Cool. Oh, I'm kind of pissed. I know we're not doing news this week, but I have to say the whole news about Two Human being reduced to two-player co-op on like co-op set 4 kind of depressed me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
I'm not to that stage. I'm still in the really pissed stage.
Yeah, I'm still in the pissed stage, too.
Kind of in the denial stage as well. I'm like, they're fucking with us. They couldn't possibly.
We'll put it in on August, and it'll all of a sudden be four-player co-op.
Yeah,
That would be nice, because we still want to do the Indus, you know, Indus 2 Human Day. But, you know, that's a news story that we'll mention on episode 26 anyway, so.
Correct. True that.
Considering we're recording it in 2 days.
Yep.
All right, well, things are okay on my end. The only thing I really have to say is that everyone should go out and watch Speed Racer.
Really?
Really.
Damn it.
It was good. I was surprised. I was very surprised.
Now, is this good as in, like, you watch Speed Racer, like, growing up and stuff, and you have this connection to them, and then you go see the movie and you're like, I refuse to believe it was a piece of shit? Good?
No, or is it it's not, really because good? Crystal has never watched Speed Racer in her life, and she absolutely loved the movie. And
is Christina Ricci naked?
No.
Deal breaker.
But she is hot, and there is a scene in the movie that makes her hotter. At least to me. So,
and she's not naked.
No, right. She's not naked, but it makes it hotter. So, and it did
my,
for
my
John.
The
guy. The
skepticism is, I'm still very wary.
Well, yeah, I will tell you this. All the cheesiness of the show is there.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
but
great,
the dialogue doesn't suck. And the acting doesn't suck. So
it's only like a third as bad?
No, it's awesome, Jason. Bad. I'm telling you, it is awesome. The race sequences are awesome. They have like the traditional fight sequences that are freaking awesome. You know, it's hilarious. You should definitely see it. Anyway, that's all. So,
if you could see me right now, I look like one of the old guys on the Muppet Show. Well, I don't know about that. Okay.
Well, because we were late and because we're recording again in 2 days, we've pretty much decided that we're going to skip distractions and we're going to skip news and we're going to go right into the feature, which is GTA. And then following that, we'll do some emails and then we'll do our question of the week, which has actually already been posted on VG Evo if you don't already have it. So we're going to make it a shorter show and, you know, and we'll be back on, this coming Monday with a full show like we usually do. So correct. With that, let's move on to the feature.
Man, you're fast forwarding it. Wow.
I know.
Okay.
Well, we're going to take a break. Oh, wait, we're back.
And we're back.
Jason, take it away.
Take it away. Well, you know, we put the call out last week or so. Man, it was almost like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, at this point it was.
We're really late. Anyway, so we got a bunch of emails. A lot of people are into this whole Grand Theft Auto 4 thing. So I figured we'd start off by reading one of those emails. What do you think?
That sounds like a good
idea. Good idea.
Yay!
Did you come up with that
first
all by yourself?
First email's from Diz, also known as Dizzy. Anyway.
Dizzymon.
He says, boo! God, the weather's terrible here, and I need a drink. I did too, and I had one, and I feel a lot better. So, Grand Theft Auto. The day before release, I was feverishly excited. This wasn't because of all the press the game got or the perfect scores. I've just loved every Grand Theft Auto since 3, which I completed in one sitting. The second.
Whoa!
Time.
Holy wow. Shit!
That's a lot.
It's hardcore.
Dizzy, were you having a bad day that day?
When I got the game home, I was pretty disappointed. Ooh, they fucked up the handling of the car so that it doesn't feel like Grand Theft Auto anymore. I was lied to by the trailers telling me the game would look twice as good as it actually does. And the camera is not only bad, but it seems to work against you when you even so much as go near a wall. As much as it pains me to say it, so far, is an 8 out of 10. As opposed to the perfect scores that have been getting left, right, and center. Luckily, the story and characters are fantastic and keep me wanting to play the game. But the meat of GTA, the enormous chases and stunts, etc., has been taken away from me thanks to the car's poor control. Seriously, it's easier to ride Chuck's mom.
Nice.
I understand they wanted to make it more realistic, but having to obey traffic laws to get around a corner unscratched is taking things a little far. It was also reported that Ricky Gervais's stand-up was original. It is not. I'm pretty disappointed that they haven't made any of the radio stations as good as Chatterbox from Grand Theft Auto 3, and the controls are just fiddly in general. Well, these are my complaints about the game. I'm sure you'll be inundated with positives, so I'll just leave it there. People already dislike me, so I thought I'd be the one to acknowledge the elephant, Chuck's mom, in the room.
No.
Your loyal fan, Dizzy. And then he writes right. XXX. Acknowledge the man kisses. I will not. No.
I don't like the handling of the cars either. I'm going to come out and say that.
True.
But I think the main reason is because the brakes. And it's like if you barely touch the brakes, the car doesn't slow down. But if you slam on them, the car doesn't turn.
Right.
So you're kind of screwed. Mm-hmm. And I'm still trying to get used to the whole handbrake turn thing. And it's not easy because it's like you hit the handbrake and you pretty much do a 180. I mean, that's what I'm getting to, or close to it.
I find it, like, if you just tap it, you can kind of do it, but the problem is, like you said, if you even tap the handbrake, you might not do a 180, but your car is going to slow down to almost a halt, so you'll get, like, that 90-degree turn, but you'll be going, like, a fifth of the speed you were. So it makes those kind of high-speed chases not so much high-speed anymore. I find that when I'm chasing somebody or being chased, you're not exactly zipping through the city like you were in the other ones.
No, not at all.
It's kind of disappointing.
Not at all.
Yeah, it's especially disappointing when they can still control the way that, you know, you're used to and you end up losing them or something like that. I'm on a mission right now where I cannot keep up with this guy. Cannot, you know, and he's diving through like side streets and stuff. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what the hell to do. Crying and stuff.
But, well, then, no, Dizzy's email is
a good example of, you know, I mean, this game's getting perfect scores pretty much across the board. And yet there are some pretty big flaws here, you know, that normally I think would get bitched about.
Definitely are. Agreed. But a lot of people are, because IGN got the exclusive. They released the first review and it was a 10. And this might be like a whole other show altogether, but they kind of set the bar. Yeah. So basically everyone reviewing it after that release, they're like, holy crap, they gave it a 10. We were only going to give it like an 8.5 or a 9. What do we do now? Like, you know, it's, you don't want to be that first guy to really give it that lower score, or else you're going to get reamed out by all the GTA fanboys out there and stuff.
They would come out in droves. And
exactly. Yeah. It was like what happened to GameSpot when they gave Twilight Princess an 8.5. It was like, oh my god, and I want their heads. And just ugly. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not too far. You guys might be further than I am, but I wouldn't give it a 10, that's for sure. But then I'm not the hugest GTA fan in the world. I didn't even play San Andreas. Like, well, enough to worth like to, for me to say I played it, but
yeah.
So that's why maybe the driving to me, like, I know there is a difference in the driving, but it just hasn't bugged me that much because, like I said, I only played, like, the most I played of one was Vice City. And I didn't even play that to completion, so I guess I wasn't totally used to it. And then I skipped the GTAs after that and then went right into this one. So, and then again, I went right into this one right after I was playing Gran Turismo 5 a lot. So I'm going from, like, super realism to, which GTA is still kind of arcadey, so it still was a nice change for me, but I can see where people are complaining, though.
Yeah, definitely. I have the same problems. And, you know, there are cars that are a lot better. I don't know if, you know, those really good cars are just like the standard and then they made everything beneath it just like handicapped or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they really do control for shit. You feel like you're actually going to roll or something like that.
Oh, fuck yeah. And the good cars like the Ferrari and the Lamborghini and stuff that are really fast. Yeah. They control like crap. You can't take corners with them, and they are so fragile. You hit two things with that, and next thing you know, the car is going to explode. It almost makes it better to get into a shitty vehicle or like one of those mid-level vehicles that you go for in terms of performance rather than in the other ones. You're like, you see a Lamborghini or a Ferrari, unless you're just like driving around the city in GTA 4. I find myself not really going for those ones because even the motorcycles now, I used to love them in Vice City, and I'm kind of not avoiding them, but if I know I'm in a chase mission or if I'm going to be chased, I usually don't get into one because you take a turn wrong in a motorcycle, you're gone.
Yep.
You're flying off
the cross rockets. Yeah, those are annoying. I like, mm-hmm. I kind of like the, you know, the city speedsters, you know, the ones that are a little lower to the ground. You can't pop a wheelie on them. They handle a lot better, but they're slow as shit, you know?
Yeah.
There's no like middle ground in those.
I haven't even tried a bike yet.
And they turn down the acceleration on the bikes too. Like in the crotch rocket and in Vice City, you took like that. No one could catch that thing like acceleration. Like you just zoom past everybody, like off the line. You took everybody. And this one, it's actually slower than some of the cars. I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. But hey.
Just give me the damn scooter.
I don't, I am not noticing that you have to follow traffic laws though. Are you?
No, you don't have to follow traffic laws.
Yeah, I haven't followed any. I mean, I've actually like sideswiped cops and just driven away.
No, you haven't.
No, cops.
Yeah, not
go
hard.
After you if you hit them.
Not
hard. If you hit them.
But I've tapped them.
If you just bump them. Yeah,
I mean, I've bumped cops and then driven away. If you actually hit them, yeah, they come after you. But like, I've gotten into car accidents right in front of cops. You know.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about that.
They don't give a
shit. Just ride right through a red light.
Pretty much the only thing you can do is run over someone.
Yeah. And I found at the beginning when I first got the game, I was actually obeying the traffic law just because I wanted to take everything in. I was actually stopping at stoplights and everything. And of course, after like three missions, I was like, yeah, screw this. I'm just like barreling through everybody.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. I was that way from the beginning though. I was like, I don't have that much patience, you know? So it's like people will stop at a red light and I'll be like, fuck, and I'll run around them and honk at him going by. I'm like, yeah, I'm a true New Yorker, you bastards.
I also want to comment on that. Oh, go ahead, Jim.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I also want to touch on, he mentioned the camera and everything. I don't find a big issue with the camera, but like you said, I agree with him. When you're in a tight quarters, the camera is balls. Like, I'm on a mission right now, which I've done four times, and I can't beat it. It's kind of early in the game on one of the characters' quest lines, but I have to go to this old hospital and get this girl's Coke back.
Oh, shit.
And then, once you get it, the cops come and they're surrounded the place and they're coming in the entrances and everything like that. And if you're even close to a wall, let's say you don't hit the cover button, which I'm sure we'll get into that later, but I don't mind you hit cover button, you're behind the wall, that's fine, you can't shoot, whatever. But sometimes when you're just close to a wall, your character will kind of put the gun up and then your reticule will be on somebody, but it won't shoot because it thinks you're facing the wall or you're like, I don't know what's up with it. So a lot of times I'll be like, cool, I'm just going to turn this corner. I'll be like waiting. And then all of a sudden a cop will come like to my right. I'll aim to shoot him. I can, and then I'm dead. Because,
In summary, they did add the cover system, which is a welcome addition, and it does improve the combat significantly.
Yeah.
However, it's still not up to snuff. There's
no,
still
no, at all. Why didn't they just copy Saints Row? I said that Saints Row had the perfect combat system for that type of game, and they just, I don't know why they just didn't blatantly rip it off. Because Saints Row ripped off everything else from GTA. Like, why not? They ripped off a lot of other things from Saints Row, actually.
Yeah, like the nav system, like the map.
Yeah,
where it actually draws a line, A to B.
The GPS.
In regard to Saints Row, I never played that. So, do they have all the blind fire that you can do?
I can't remember if it had the blind fire. It didn't have cover or anything, but you didn't have to do. There was no auto aim in Saints Row, and there was no. It was basically how in GTA 4 you hold down the analog halfway to get that free roaming shooting.
Yep.
They can just shoot. That's all it was.
Oh, okay.
And it was just like a standard third-person shooter, and it worked really, really well.
Hmm. Yeah, I never. Well,
I definitely found that the blind fires helped me a lot.
They help a lot. Yeah,
One thing about the cover system is that I'm noticing is that there was one mission where I was inside a house, and it was really close quarters, and it's like I could never get a bead on an enemy. I was jumping from one area to the other, like one thing, one piece of cover to the other, and I could never, actually aim at someone. And I think that was just my inexperience with the cover system. But
oh, really?
Yeah, I had to do that mission twice because I got killed, and so did the guy I was with, little Jacob.
Got killed. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, you killed me, bitch.
Oh, I found something cool in that is there was someone kind of, they were ducking behind a hallway. They were in a hallway, but they were on the other side. You can shoot the wall continuously.
Yeah,
I'll actually
I did
blow
that.
A hole through there. I'm like, oh,
and actually, if you look really close, you see as the wall starts peeling away, you can see like the supports.
Yep.
On the inside,
I was
like, that
very
is really
surprised
cool.
to see that.
Yeah, I
like
was
a lot
too,
of
actually.
Games that aren't as big as GTA have promised that kind of stuff. Gears of War and never made it into the game. And that mission, I think it's the same one with Joe. Oh, it's in that area when you're in that kind of We're not going to spoil anything. This isn't really a spoiler again. It's really early in the game. You go to like a warehouse thing with Jacob, and there's kind of a little bit of a twist happens here.
Yeah.
And you're basically in a firefight. And when they shoot the pillars that are in this warehouse, chunks of concrete are falling off and being shot away. I was like, that is fucking cool.
That's a nice touch. Yeah.
It was. I was surprised to see that kind of detail in the like a big open-ended game like that.
Yeah, definitely a little lens to the detail in the game. And that's probably one of the biggest things that I just love about it is that it is extremely realistic and very detailed. And, you know, the city lives and breathes, you know, it truly does. You know, when you're walking down the street, I really haven't run across anybody that's the same, you know, everybody's saying different shit. You know, it's just, that's amazing to me. So, I mean, the $60 price point is made up in just the, you know, I think the detail alone. You know,
oh yeah,
that's been the most fun thing to me is just walking around the city and just like, wow, very cool. I'm thinking another email is in order. What do you guys think?
Sounds good.
Yeah. This is from Only One Matters. And he says, I purchased Grand Theft Auto 4 on release day. I was hoping to have a week filled with Grand Theft Auto. I read before I stuck my disc into my PS3 about a freezing issue the 60 gig PS3s had. And I had a bad feeling right then.
Oh, no.
I stuck my disc in and installed the game data. The opening cutscene ran and Nico got off the boat. I started feeling like I might be in the clear. Just then the screen freezes, but the sound continues. At this point, I can't do anything. My PS3 does not respond, so I reboot. I figure maybe if I'd skip the opening cutscene that maybe I'll be able to play. No such luck. I start driving to the apartment and the damn thing freezes on the way up the hill from the dock. Reboot. I tried about 5 more times with combinations of skipping through stuff and deleting game saves and game data with no such luck. Reboot again. The remainder of the week included me scouring gaming forums and blogs for any little possible thing that could get this game working. I've tried everything from exchanging my disc for a new one to disabling nearly everything possible in the PS3 settings. Nothing has worked. So here I am, 1 week later, still GTA-less. Still searching for a workaround, and Rockstar hasn't even publicly announced a statement acknowledging the issue or that they're working on a solution. I don't even want to get on my PS3 anymore because every time I log on, I see like 8+ people on my friend list all playing Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah.
I did finally get a return email from Rockstar saying that a certain batch of 60 gig PS3s are having a freezing issue that they're working on. They then pointed me to a link of ridiculous things to try and saying, hope that helped. No, it doesn't fucking help. Way to release a game that is completely unplayable for some rock star. Fuck you.
Yeah, I feel really sad for him.
Only one match.
I know you don't visit GLF a whole lot, Jason, but he actually has pictures posted of him using the GTA disc as a coaster.
Oh, no.
It's painful to see. He's got like this big old tall glass of ice water sitting on top of his GTA disc.
Oh, no. That's going to be the worst feeling when you're looking forward to a game so much, then you bring it home and it doesn't work. Like, did I talk about, I'm not sure if I did last week or not, or the week before, I guess, the guy at my work who's frozen and actually screwed up his PS3?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, I remember that. Broke. I don't know if we mentioned it on the show, but.
I think we did.
It doesn't work anymore. But he bought a 360 last Thursday, I think, or Friday, just for GTA. I'm like, wow, that's pretty hardcore.
Gotta buy it again. Have you guys heard of more problems on the PS3 than the 360, do you think?
Yeah, I have. There's more problems with 60 gig owners. Now, I am wondering about this because a lot of the people that I'm – I have not heard of a 60 gig owner who has switched out their hard drive who has had this problem.
Oh.
So I'm actually wondering if, you know, switching out your hard drive fixes it.
Don't see why not. I mean, they're just tossing shit out there anyway at this point.
I don't really know what's going on.
I think the reason Rockstar hadn't said anything, because I have a feeling there's kind of this fight right now between them and Sony on why the problem is there.
Mm-hmm.
That's honestly why I think that no one's going to say anything until they actually figure out whose fault it is, and then whoever's it is has to rectify it. Because Rockstar's not going to come out and be like, oh, we fucked up. If it is something to do with the 60 gig PS3s, and no way Sony's going to be like, well, those 60 gig PS3s have something wrong with them, or there's some kind of mistake, because no one's going to come out and admit that until they know for sure what it was that caused it. Because this exact same thing happened with Bully on 360, and within days, Rockstar came public and said, you know what, we fucked up, something went wrong, we're going to give you guys a patch, just hold still, and then, like a week later, a patch was released.
True.
And they've yet to come out and say anything.
No. That's they have actually released a game patch.
Well, for the online,
some of the for the online stuff that was supposed to alleviate some of the problems. I did just hear within the past couple of days that that Sony's going to release a firmware update that that might fix some more. We shall see. So it looks like they're both making moves. I'm happy to see that. So so hopefully, all that matters is going to be able to play at some point.
Yeah, no kidding. But aren't we all happy that the consoles are moving more towards PC? No.
Oh, I didn't get a daily
this, this would have never happened on a Super Nintendo or a Genesis. If your shit wasn't working, it was your system, like individually, or it was the game cartridge. You went and exchanged that. It was working fine.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
Well, let me throw it out there. I know I've mentioned it. I've had some problems here and there. There's definitely some bugs in the game. You know, I've had it lock up on me a couple times, and it hadn't been a deal breaker as of yet, but I don't know. I'm not feeling it nearly as bad as, you know, some of the other people out there. I feel really bad for them.
Same here.
I just think it's ironic how a lot of the talk beforehand were like, well, what version are you going to get in it? And a lot of people said, I'm going to get the PS3 version because, you know, my system's not going to crap out on me when I start playing it.
Oops. I know. I was not the same way. And, you know, I was watching a there was a video on, like, the live marketplace, and they were showing how to achieve, like, some of the, you know, the achievements. And Grand Theft Auto, I'm like, oh, I wish I could do that. So,
oh, that's right.
I'm almost regretting it. Almost.
I'm not.
The only reason I got a 360 version is simply more people I know online got it.
Yeah.
And mind you, I've only played the multiplayer for maybe a maximum of like 2 hours, so it's really been a non-issue, really.
Hmm. Well, speaking of the multiplayer, I haven't really gotten a chance to play much. I mean, not for lack of trying, you know. You know, we tried to set up something, I think, last Saturday. I didn't get home till late, so I missed out on that. But I keep getting invites, and I keep trying to get in, and then I get disconnected, and just having lots of problems with it. I don't think it's widespread, but I know I certainly have issues connecting.
Yeah, we have
what it is.
We have one friend of ours that has a 60 gig that's been playing online more than offline. I mean, he's he's been playing hours and hours at a time, apparently. So. I mean, it's apparently it works. You know, it's there. It's just that it seems like Jason's problems are kind of isolated to certain people. I haven't actually had a chance to try it yet. I got one invite from our buddy John, and at that point, I was in the middle of a mission, and as soon as I finished the mission, I had to go. So, just haven't had a chance to do it yet.
How about you, Jeff? You played a little bit of the multiplayer.
Yeah, I played a little bit. I'm kind of indecisive on it. I don't think by any means it's any one of those games where people will get hardcore competitive with. It's just basically a game to go in and fuck around. And I find a lot of the fun comes from the free mode. There's two types of free mode. There's one that's kind of like a lobby mode, which some people are kind of saying that Home would be cool if it's kind of like this. Like, this kind of one lobby area you all go into and you kind of do whatever you want. You can go around the whole city, shoot each other, shoot people, but there's no cops or no pedestrians or anything in this mode. Just like, actually, no, there's pedestrians, but no cops or anything. Screw around, and then you can enter a free mode, which is the same thing, but now you get, like, points for killing people, and then you can turn cops on or off, and same thing, though, you can do whatever you want. And then we played a couple of cops and crooks matches, which... At first, I hated them. I really hated them because it would put the crooks in one area, cops in another, and it always seemed that they put us too close. So by the time the crooks got to where you can actually get to a car or somehow to get away, the cops were already there, and just became one big, like, gun fest in, like, a circle, like one big clusterfuck. Everyone just starts shooting at everyone. Everyone dies, and no, match over. Now switch sides and do it all over again. But then that's because in the mode we were playing was there's only one crook that the cops had to kill. Once that guy was dead, it was it. But there's another one where it's, I think it's like every man for himself kind of thing. So they have to get all of you. And that seemed to work out a lot better because the matches last longer. It's more of like a chase here, chase there kind of thing. And the other mode I did was the car theft one, where you basically have to get certain specific cars on the map and then drive them to another point on the map, which at first was confusing as hell because we didn't know what the hell we were doing. We're going all these like markers. First of all, we thought it meant take any car. So we're like, that's kind of weird. And depending on what kind of car it was, it got different points. So we're just stealing at random cars and driving around. Like, we didn't know where to go or anything. And I don't think anyone did. Like, everyone in this room were just kind of like, it was me and like four of my friends and a bunch of randoms. And no one had a clue. We're just kind of all driving around. It turns into main will be free mode again. But that was kind of cool. But those are the only modes I really tried out. And Cops and Crooks is a lot of fun, but you have to play with people you know. Because it's just, it takes a lot of communication and stuff, and it's just, if no one's communicating, everyone's going their own kind of way, and I think there's really no point. You'll have, like, one guy just chasing another guy around forever. and whatnot. And the free mode, this is the most fun I found. People get in helicopters, shoot each other down. You pull pranks. Like, this is one of my favorites is I'll be somewhere on the map, and I'll tell someone to come pick me up in a helicopter. So they'll come get me with a helicopter, and it'll take like 5 minutes for them to get to me. And then when they get in my sights, I blow them away with a rocket launcher. that's one of my favorite things to do. Or what I'll do is you're in a helicopter, you fly people up really high, and say you're piloting it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, yeah, all right, let's go here. You just all of a sudden just jump out. So then everyone else is like, what the fuck? And the helicopter's just going down. Oh, that's a lot of fun too. It's like the stuff like that is really fun. This game needs a replay mode.
Oh,
like
Halo
3. It needs it. Like some of the things you see are just so funny. Like I haven't laughed so hard in my life like playing this game.
I really, really hope that they can add that. What's the respawn like though? I mean, say that you do jump out of the helicopter.
Oh, you respawn. As far as I know, there's only this one area, which is kind of a pain in the ass because the world's pretty big. And they do give you some good vehicles. They give you all the weapons are in your spawn point and all of the some of the helicopters. But it's really weird. I don't know what the timing is in the spawning, but sometimes if all the helicopters were gone and you'd respawn back in this one spot and then you'd have to find a car to get where everyone else is or where you want to go. And sometimes those helicopters would take forever to respawn, or the fast vehicles that it spawns in your home point, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. Sometimes they spawn like instantly, like you fly a helicopter, crash it, do whatever, and then you die and you respawn and the helicopter's there again. And sometimes it's not. I don't know what's up with that. Is it kind of like formula to it or we're missing something? But it's in the free mode, it kind of spawns you in one spot. That's like the home mode. The free play mode kind of spawns you kind of randomly, I guess, but it spawns you close to where the action is.
Cool.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
And then cops,
I was worried that it
dead,
was just like
dead.
One central area, like one respawn point, and you know,
it is in the free mode, like the lobby type mode. Yeah.
Okay. But the more intense modes, you repop by the action. That's cool. Okay.
Yeah.
We need to try and get a game going, Jason.
Yeah, I'm all for it. What are you doing after the show? Probably sleeping. Okay. Pussy pants.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right.
Hey, I wake up at like 5:45. Shut up. Continue.
I go to bed about 5:45. Anyway, I have another email. This one's a short one. I think it's a new listener. I can't really tell. I've never seen this name before, but this person's name is Christian Marsham. Thank you for writing.
All right.
They write, hi, I've just started listening to the podcast recently. Just a random Grand Theft Auto 4 question of the week. Don't know how far you've played, but do you like Nico, and do you wish you find out more about his past?
How far are you, Jason?
Pretty far. I think
pretty
I know
far.
A lot about Nico. And yeah. They do go into pretty good detail about Nico. You know, I thought he was a Russian up until I played the game.
Yeah, me too.
Turns out he's Serbian.
He's Serbian.
Like the Bosnian the war. And you actually get emails from his mother and stuff. You find out all about his past. And they
really?
Go pretty in-depth.
I haven't gotten that far yet.
You haven't got to the internet cafe yet?
No, I haven't. Well,
dude,
I haven't
you have.
Gone to
That's
it
like
yet.
The first 2 hours, dude. What, you've been slacking.
No, I just haven't gotten to it yet. I've played a lot of the missions. I just haven't gotten around to doing some of that stuff.
Oh, really?
But, I mean.
But that's in a mission, though.
Well, I haven't gotten to that mission yet.
But is he likable? Do you guys like him?
I do.
I really like him.
Yeah, I do too.
I think
he's a very likable character. He's doing all this shit, and it's all, you know, it's all for family, and it's all, you know, and then you find out the story behind the whole thing and, you know, for that. But, he has a personality that you don't find in many games lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a much deeper personality than you see in most games out there right now.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the biggest attachment I've had to a Grand Theft Auto character since I've played. And from my recall, correct me guys if I'm wrong, but in Vice City, you just get out of jail, right? Is that what happens? You just get out of jail, you go back to Miami. And then you kind of like want to start. You want to be like right away in the whole organized crime.
And no, actually in Vice City, you got out of jail and then you got caught up in like some bad drug deal.
Yeah, well, I like the way that this game set it up. How it's like him kind of immigrating to, you know, United States, and he's actually looking for like a better life or whatnot. And then it kind of feels like he's getting suckered into going back to his past and whatnot. And I thought that was really cool because you actually feel like, holy crap, dude, like, don't do that. Like, don't, you're going to get yourself into shit, man. And I've also found there's way more moral choices in this one than the other ones. Like, this game, I actually feel bad for killing people I'm supposed to kill in certain situations, or, even civilians too. But there's this one part, you know, the part where you can kind of kill like who you want kind of thing. You have like a, not a choice, but one of the assassins, I can't remember what mission it was. You have to kill some dude, and the one guy's telling you to kill him, the other guy's telling you not to kill him. And when it actually comes to the point where you're head to head with this guy, you have a choice to kill him or to let him live.
Right.
And at that point in the game, I was like, I'm going to let the guy live. And any other GTA would have been like, fuck you, man.
Yep.
This guy has
no
feelings.
Yeah, actually, I feel a lot, you know, it's, there's a lot more emotional attachment to the game in general. I've noticed that, because, I mean, when I played like GTA 3, it was like, I don't give a shit, you know, just running around, running over people, who gives a fuck. Now I actually find myself dodging pedestrians when I'm driving, you know, because I actually feel more emotionally attached to the game itself. And I'm trying not to, you know, do that, that, the stuff that I wouldn't normally do in life. Of course, I wouldn't do any of this shit, but, you know, it, there's a point to the missions. There's no point in just running over a random pedestrian, so.
Yeah.
True.
It just adds to the environment, really.
Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, the environment does, you know, immerse you that well, you know, that you're a little more aware of your surroundings. I remember when I was first trying out the handbrake and it didn't go so well, and I kind of slid into a wall and there just happened to be someone in between me and the wall, you know, and I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry. You know, I read an article, I forgot where it was from, but the guy was saying how he was just, you know, causing havoc throughout town, you know, just killing people or whatever. But he saw one guy that was like running for like a taxi or something like that, and he ended up pushing the guy, and the guy fell into the street, almost got hit by another car, and the guy that wrote the article, he was like, oh my, I instantly felt like remorse, and I felt scared for this guy, and I felt bad. You know, his first reaction was like, oh shit, dude, I'm sorry. But, you know, it's Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
You're supposed to be doing that shit.
Right.
I actually told Jason about this, but I wanted to tell you, Jeff, too. There's one mission where you have to, and this isn't really giving away much. There's one mission where you have to track down a van. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
There's several vans on the road, and you have to figure out, you have to track down one particular van. Well, I was in a car chasing down this van, and I chased down the van, and I get out of the car, and I run up, and I, you know, grab the guy and get him out of the car, and he opens up the van, and it's not the one I'm looking for. So I'm like, all right, cool. Well, I'm about to go and get in my car and drive off. Well, he was between my car and his van, and someone hit my car, and it smashed him into the van and basically killed him. So he got sandwiched between the car and the van and just died. And I'm like, oh, fuck. You know, I hope I don't get in trouble for that.
You guys saw it. Not my fault.
That's right.
Yeah. And it helps that first of all, the game's so well acted. Like, all the voice actors in this game are amazing. Like, they all sell their character. And Nico's leaving his facial expressions and what he says at certain points, I'm just like, dude, that's what I would say, or that's what I'd think or whatnot. Like, the first time you met that Brucey guy.
Yeah.
Like when he's doing all the push-ups and stuff, and he's kind of like making these comments about steroids like that. That was hilarious. I'm like, this Nico's amazing. He's awesome. You actually can relate to him, but he is like a cold-blooded killer, really. So it's like, all right, well, yeah, he's cool, but hey, he just does what he does to get by. And
yeah, I mean, he was in the army as a kid. That's all that he really knows. You know, that's
And the physics are great too. That helps out when you drive a car by somebody, and now they don't just either stay in their walk animation or duck or die. Now they'll actually put their hands out on the front of the hood of the car and kind of back themselves up and be like, what the hell are you doing? Kind of thing. Yeah. And just all that stuff makes you feel more like, more into it.
It gets
more,
you more
like,
attached
this
to the game.
Living world. Yeah, yeah. It's like,
it gets you more
like Mass Effect. When I was that bitchy character, I actually felt bad being like a bitch to everyone because I wanted to, because I want to see what it's like to play the game as like a total dick as opposed to being nice to everyone. And it sucked. I was like, oh man, this actually feel bad. But when I was playing Knights of the Republic, because, you know, the animation and stuff, the way it isn't as done as well because the technology mostly, and I had no problem being a dickhead like Jedi Knight. I was like, yeah, no problem. And just, that's what I'm liking the way these games are going, because the next step for Grand Theft Auto like 5 or whatever, if they can actually put in where you can pick like what you want to say to like certain people, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, could you imagine
that?
One
more level. I just had one more level of like immersion that is just like, wow, like to get connected to the characters.
Holy crap. Awesome. Add the dialogue system from Mass Effect to GTA. Talk about the perfect game.
That'd be insane. Yeah.
Well, Jeff, you mentioned the storyline and voice acting and stuff. That kind of brings up a nice little email that I got here. I'm going to go ahead and read that. It's from Nabo. You guys know Nabo, right? Hey, guys. It's freaking Monday night, and I'm in a deep depression because my awesome podcast meter hasn't been filled yet. I think that's our fault. Sorry. Either way, we can't blame things on Jeff this time around, but thanks to Shino, I can now email about the question of the week. By the way, Nabo got this in a little bit late. Anyway, so it's my first Grand Theft Auto game, and I am so glad I jumped off the boat and got the game. For those who enjoy story, enjoy dialogue, and all around enjoy the human aspect of a game, go run out and get this. This is one thing. There is one thing that bugs me, though. The title. It should be called Accessory to Murder, not Grand Theft Auto. Let's be honest. This is the story of a hired gun, and there is no way at all a relation between the simple fact that he doesn't have a car and everything else that goes on in the game. I could go on forever, and I do have an urge to do so, but I will end by saying that there is no way that in no way is this game perfect. I'm speaking of a game where billiard balls pop in as I hit them, or cars as I approach them. He didn't do any punctuation or the spell checking. Anyway. Let's see.
Yeah, but what do you expect, man?
Here we go. The screen is completely covered in an Alias to Hell Vaseline filter, but the single thing that makes it so damn great is the writing. Instead of being a character, you discover one. You learn bit by bit, twist by twist, and the dialogue literally has engulfed my fucking mind at times. I think he's on acid this time. but this is the first game on the PS3 since Lair and Motorstorm that I can say everyone must at least try. Good night, folks. Thanks for doing what you do. Nabo.
Well, a few things. One, I believe everyone else should try Lair as well to realize what kind of games to avoid in the future. That's number one.
Jeff, you're such a prick, man.
It's Lair. I love picking on people who like Lair. It's fun. he brought up something. He mentioned that the title of the game. First of all, Nabo, awesome that you jumped into 4, because 4 is the best one, at least in my opinion. Like,
oh, by far.
By far the best GTA. Like, they've been upped everything. Every single thing about it is amazing. Well, not amazing. I mean, like, a step above the other games. But the name, like you said, should be called, like, Accessory to Murder. And I was thinking about that the other day, because really, ever since Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2, it hasn't really been about just Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2 was, that's basically what it was you running around stealing cars. That's basically what the game was. And then now it's kind of changed. It was stuck with the name, I guess, because of the popularity. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they'll ever change it. But I was thinking, just a random thought. I was like, yeah, why is it still called Grand Theft Auto? Because really, it's such a small aspect of the game now. It's more about everything else but Grand Theft Auto, really. Yeah.
It's barely a mechanic anymore. I mean,
yeah, like drug trafficking, murder, homicide, all that kind of stuff. But just no.
Yep.
Well, there is, but yeah.
It's basically just a way to get from A to B. There are the Brucey missions later on. He'll start emailing you pictures of cars that he wants you to steal. So you can run around town looking for specific vehicles. So in that case, spot on. But
yeah, true.
But he mentioned the voice acting and everything.
Yeah. Excellent. One thing we didn't touch on, though, was the graphics. So what do you guys think of how the game looks?
Good point. I'm with Nabo on that whole Vaseline filter thing. We talked about that, Jeff and I, a little bit when we first got it, and it's got that kind of a film grain.
Yeah.
Anti-aliasing on that, and it's a weird one. It just looks off.
It's like way too much bloom. It's way it's like that. When you look at like a hot road, and you kind of see those, the heat rising kind of thing. Kind of looks like that the entire time, especially in like a little bit of a distance. Mm-hmm. And when I first loaded up the game, I was like, it looks really pretty. And then I started moving and I was like, whoa, everything's kind of blending into everything. And I was like, started adjusting things on my TV.
Smoothed,
Yeah. And Haze has that same thing, but we'll talk about Haze later.
Chris, what did you think about the graphics?
I thought they were less than I thought they were going to be.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm definitely seeing the bloom and the Vaseline effect that you guys are too, but I think that's more of an ends to, to make it so that it doesn't look as bad as it really is.
True.
Yeah.
It's cause it's definitely not fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, the graphics are good and they're far beyond anything that was out on the PS1 or I'm sorry, PS2 or Xbox, but it just doesn't feel like it's quite up to snuff when you compare it to other next-gen games.
No. But they did improve overall, though, because even back when Vice City, GTA 3, and even San Andreas were released, even at that time with those consoles, they weren't looked at as good-looking games. True. But at least now, it still is a good-looking game. Like some people consider it the kind of game it is probably the best-looking in its kind, really.
I will say this, though. Yeah. I mean, I can forgive the visuals when you see just how much detail there is in the city itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's so many little things that you can just every once in a while you'll just like, oh damn, check that out, you know? And there's a lot of those moments and that's it makes me forgive what they're doing with the visuals.
Yeah.
I agree with you there. You know, there's times where it ranges from anywhere from it looks like ass to absolutely fucking gorgeous. Because there's some cutscenes, you know, and it's all real time, where the light hits Nico just the right way, and you're like, oh, that's awesome looking, and not in a gay way, but you know what?
No,
he can look pretty good in the right lighting. It's like,
it's
very cinematic, and you know,
yeah,
aesthetically pleasing. But, I guess is what I'm going for.
Agreed. But it doesn't look at all like those screenshots they were posting, though.
Fuck
the still frames. I was like, what? It doesn't look at all like that. Because the overall, if you were to show someone like Saints Row, or I guess the only game I can compare it to, really, it's the only kind of game like it, like in motion, and show GTA 4 in motion, Saints Row looks a lot more crisp and clean looking, but then GTA 4 just detail blows it away, but you're sacrificing, you know, it's a little bit more blurry, so to speak, and they have a little bit more stuff going on in the background to kind of hide its flaws, which this is the first GTA 2, you can't turn that off, because the other ones had that motion blur thing too, but you can turn that off if you wanted to. This one you can't. But I'm happy overall. I'm not disappointed.
Definitely.
Looks pretty decent.
As I said, the first time I booted it up, I was like, eh, it's all right. But then as you go through the game, you start discovering more stuff. It's like, you totally forgive the fact that they cut a few corners to make it as immersive of a game.
Exactly. Like, some of the cars look awesome. The helicopters look great. The water looks amazing for such a big world. I thought it would be like typical open world game. Water looks like complete bullshit. But no, you actually have waves and everything. The water level like changes. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I dig it. Overall, I like it. Generally,
word.
I like it. Let's do another email. What have we got here? RPT. You guys know him?
Yep.
Yes. It's RPG Evo.
He has shot me down in Warhawk many times.
Yeah.
Bastard. RPT says, good day, Indus crew. Before I get into Grand Theft Auto, I'd like to start by talking about a great developer by the name of DMA Design. This bunch of Scots are responsible for making quite a few fantastic games, some of which are well known. Lemmings, for instance, and others that weren't. Walker or Hired Guns. I've never even heard of those. Well. Then, 11 years ago, they made the first Grand Theft Auto. Though the quality of the previously mentioned games, I was quite interested to try out the latest creation, and it was fun for about an hour before the novelty of running people over wore off and the horde control stood out. This has pretty much been my experience with the series since. The formula of the game hasn't really changed, even with the jump to 3D, but one thing has stayed true. Shit controls. Now, I haven't played 4, nor do I really intend to, but from most reports, I'm hearing the controls are better, but still just not as good as they should be. Have you found this to be the case? Now, my reason for bringing up DMA Design's early game is to point out that once they changed their name to Rockstar North, the only new IP that they have produced is Manhunt. Bully, Midnight Club, etc. were made by other branches of Rockstar. I'm happy that they have been so successful with the Grand Theft Auto franchise, but I'm disappointed that this has come at the cost of them making more varied titles. Keep up the good work on the show, guys. RPT.
Control.
Well, we pretty much covered it mostly.
Kind of, sorta.
Not really.
The one thing I didn't actually get to put this comment in when we were talking about the camera, but the camera behind the car really sucks.
I'm constantly because
you still have control of it, but it doesn't stay where you put it.
Yeah,
no, you have to constantly move it around.
Yeah, and that drives me nuts.
Some of the cars are better. Like, I know the Humvee has a good angle, you know, good like 45-degree angle looking down. But yeah, most of the cars, especially like the sports cars, almost puts you directly behind the car, and you're like, damn it, I can't fucking see it.
Yeah, I don't like those ones.
Yeah. Agreed.
The control, like, it's better, but could be a lot worse, I guess. It could be a lot better as well. The only thing that the camera is basically at fault for a lot of the control issues I find. And if not, the only thing I can really complain about, the cover system could use work. it's kind of like a similar thing to Gears, but not as responsive. And I don't think Gears even has the best cover system out there. But it's the whole thing. We hold down the trigger halfway to do the free aim and one full way to the auto lock on. You do get used to it, but it's kind of feels clumsy at first.
Right. Yeah, it does.
I feel like I'm steering a horse.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
You know, the controls are still sluggish and they're still muddy. Yes. And, you know, when I'm trying to turn Nico around, he takes the long way around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He doesn't just like and turn I feel on a that, dime or something like that. But
yeah. And it has a problem, which I can relate to a few other games, which is one, Metal Gear Solid 3, the one that they re-released where they added the free mode camera, mm-hmm. kind of like Splinter Cell, whereas the camera moves a lot faster than the character.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a problem, like, if I'm trying to turn a corner and I'll maybe adjust the camera first, and then because you're like a first-person shooter, you kind of want to turn roughly the same speed, but because the camera moves a lot faster than your character, you end up not turning exactly where you want to, or you turn yourself into a wall when you want to go through a door, mm-hmm. or you turn yourself backwards when you wanted to go forwards, sure. but at a different angle. I find myself doing that a lot. I'm not sure if that is the reason why, but it's something I kind of noticed.
Hmm. I don't know. Chris?
Yeah. I really don't have anything else to add. I mean, the control is better than the old GTAs, but it's still, you know, there's still a few tweaks that could work out. I especially don't like using one of the triggers to fire. No. At least not on the PS3.
Really?
On the it would probably be a lot easier on the 360 because the triggers are so much better on the 360.
Yeah.
But for the PS3 controls, using the triggers is a hassle. Mm-hmm. In my opinion. It's just not as exact. Doesn't work as
so
well.
So what is to shoot on the PS3 one? Is it R2 or whatever,
it's R2.
The bendy one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The bendy one.
And, you know, and it's the same idea. You hold it. It's the same idea with L2, too. You hold it down and you lock on, and then if you hold it like halfway, you can move it around. Mm-hmm. But, yep.
Yeah. And, it sucks that Rockstar Rockstar North can't really work on any new IPs, but really GTA is like a cash cow. That is a money printer, basically. So I'm pretty sure Rockstar's a lot bigger now than they were when the first two games came out, when they were, I can't remember, was it DM something? Whatever RPG said, the developer's name was, I can't remember. But they're a lot bigger now, so I'm sure Rockstar Base, okay, you guys do your GTA thing, we'll have the other guys do other stuff. And really what it comes down to is they just might, like, I don't want to say that they're crap at programming or control systems, but maybe they're just not the best coders, so to speak, to get that control down pat. That doesn't mean the game is crap or that they can't do what they're doing. But I mean, a lot of companies have those kind of knocks on them. Like BioWare games, as much as people love them, they are glitched the fuck out of them. Oh, like yeah. There's a lot of glitches in BioWare games. Yeah. Like no matter how long it takes them to release them, sometimes their games are just the way they are, but you let every other aspect of it that you're willing to live with it and cut them some slack. So maybe even if they did work on something new, or even if said, you know what, you can make GTA 5, but take 5 years to do it, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be fixed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and with all the time that they put into the GTA franchise, it's hard for them to actually get around to making another game.
Yeah, true.
Good point. That kind of rolls us into another email from Bitch Pig. He says, "Hey, Batman, Bitch Pig here. Long time no righty. I've been awfully busy and I wasn't sure what to add to the previous couple topics, but the show continues to be great. Thank you. So let me preface my Grand Theft Auto discussion with this. I have not played the game yet, although I intend to. I stopped playing with Vice City due to some fundamental problems that the game had. Combat was one of the biggest. The fact that although there was a lot to do in the game, the vast majority of the things seemed to fall in either the errand boy or pointless minigame category. I'm not exactly sure what delivering pizzas had to do with increasing your maximum health or armor, whichever it was. I've been fairly skeptical of the newest iteration, and I wanted to blast some questions your way that no one that I know of seems to be dealing with. And you guys have always been great at having your own opinions outside of the bullshit that seems to float around on the internet. One thing that resonates is the ridiculous amount of good scores it's received from various review outlets. I don't typically pay much attention to a numerical score in reviews, but so many 10s out of 10s tend to attract some attention. Is this game really that perfect? Okay, so they supposedly fixed the broken, clunky combat. They made the character more likable. They made the world more full with radio, TV, and interweb cafes. And they made the story deeper. Is that really enough to make a decently entertaining series game into a perfect one? Is the hype because it's actually worth it, or because they chose to finally increment the number behind the title? I find it hard to believe that Grand Theft Auto 4 is God's gift to gaming when, at its heart, it's been done many times before. Just looking for some opinions since you've had... I'm sorry. Just looking for some opinions you've had since you actually have put your hands to it. Is it what they're making it out to be? It's obviously going to go down as one of the more successful games, given the ridiculous amount of money that it's already made, and some sales records it's already broken. I don't think that because I'm skeptical, I'm automatically going to hate it. I just don't want to rush into it because it's the talk of the town in a time where the only major IP series game that's come out with a non-demo, sorry, Gran Turismo, is Mario Kart. I'm waiting for the dust to settle so I can get a real impression of what that isn't, get a real impression of it that isn't clouded by newness. Great cast, guys. Keep making them. I'll keep listening. The Sow.
Nice.
It is not worth all the tens.
No.
It is very much worth buying and playing, and it is a fantastic game, and it's easily in the nine somewhere.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's worth all the tens.
Agreed.
Well, we had a feature on our show a long time ago. I think we did an entire feature on it. It was what it takes for a game to have like a perfect 10.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm strict, like my belief is I don't believe a game has to be perfect to have a 10. I don't believe it has to have perfect sound, graphics, control. My thing always is if a game draws you back over and over and over again and you have fun playing it, no matter when you play it, no matter how long after you first play the game, to say you play a game like 4 years later and you pick it up and play it, it still is fun. That to me is a 10. So I guess it could be a 10 to certain people. I don't think it's deserving all the 10s that all these sites are giving it, because I find it hard to believe that every single one of these reviewers have that same thought as it is the perfect game that's going to keep you coming back for more.
Right.
But I will say on my experiences, the other GTAs, I play about a quarter of the way through the main story, and then it turns out to let me just fuck around with shit when friends come over and we'll laugh and see this dumb stuff we do, and then I never pick it up again. But this game, even though I have taken some days off, like that's the thing, is like the kiss of death to me in a game is if I take like 4 days off now playing a game and I don't have that urge right away to go back and play it, I tend to just put it on the back burner. And this is the first GTA that has me like won't play it for a couple days, but I'll come back, play three missions, have a great time. A couple days later, do the same thing again and again. So it hasn't kept me, you know, to my TV like 6 hours at a time, 4 hours at a time, but it has kept me coming back after a few days of not playing it, which says a lot for me because I'm not a big fan of it, but I don't know if I'd give it. I definitely wouldn't give it a 10 as of yet anyway. Hmm. Like, it's no Mario Kart DS, really. That game's a 10. Or Rock Band.
Fair enough. I'm in the same boat with Chris, I think. There are certainly some flaws. Scott... Bitchbag, you know, brought up some really good points. Is it just more of the same? In essence, yeah, it is. But it's a lot more of the same, and it's still done really, really well. You know, there's still some minor nitpicky things. Like the control thing is not a deal breaker for me. I can deal with that. You know, the camera angles, I'm okay. But you know, Jeff mentioned, you know, the game keeps me coming back for more. So. I'm still having a huge amount of fun with the game. So I don't know. Is it perfect? No.
Yeah.
Would I suggest it? Yeah, totally. Provided you're, you know, over 18.
Yeah, really.
Of course.
Game is vulgar, dude. You guys know who Tone Dog is, right? From VG Evo. Is
yes.
That right?
Yeah.
For a long time on his PSN, you know, comment, it said, Grand Theft Auto 4, who gives a shit? And I think it was him. I'm pretty sure it was him. But then I saw him just the other night, and yeah, he got Grand Theft Auto 4, and it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. So apparently the game was good enough, you know, that he was playing it really late.
And he bought it and played it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. So there's some kind of magic sauce in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like Bitch Pig, if you're looking at it, is it worth a 10 in terms of perfect like game ever created? Hell no. Far from it. But if you like the other GTAs and it is the best one, and you know, if you believe in that 10 scale of just if it keeps bringing you back, then it might be, but that's something that can never be really put on paper. That's going to go straight to the individual. Like, that's not someone you can, like, I can't tell you, hey, because I keep going back and playing it, it's a 10. You should think it's a 10 too. But in terms of that, I don't think it deserves the 10s if you're looking at actual, like, groundbreaking game that has never been done before, right. or, you know, the next level. It's the next level in that genre, yes, 100%, yeah. but I don't think for gaming.
Yeah. I will say this. This is actually the first Grand Theft I've played since Part 3.
Really?
And oh, wow. I actually had no intention of buying the game at first. But after, you know, Jeff and Jason started talking about it and saying that they were going to get it day one and, you know, they wanted to do shows about it. I was like, okay, I'll go buy it. And I'm really glad I did. I'm very much enjoying the game. It was very much worth the money that I paid for it. So I would definitely suggest it to anybody, you know, well, again, that's over 18. Are you going to get this as a Christmas present for your son, Jason?
I did. Hell no. It's funny because Lisa, my wife, was asking, you know, would you let Callan play that? And I'm like, are you kidding? No.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say, this is one of my gripes about the game. It's another nitpicky one, but it is extremely vulgar, like to the point of like they're just trying to be vulgar just for the sake of it. You know,
they're swearing left and right.
Every corner that you turn, you know, someone's saying fuck or someone's saying shit. And you know what? Mm-hmm. I'm all for the cussing. I love it. But there is a point, you know, of no return where you're just like, this is a city.
Are they just doing it to do it?
But no, it's the big problem I had was it was on the radio.
Yeah, Minton, New York, Jason? Come on, man.
Yeah.
I hear that all the time.
But even on the radio, they're dropping F-bombs every other second.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's true. And on the TV and stuff, and that took me out of it. I did not like that fact at all. And I usually just turn the radio off because it's just a distraction. It just they try and make the world so realistic, yet at the same time still carving that, you know, nice little
take out of city. It.
But that really takes me out of it. I don't remember them being that bad in the previous Grand Theft Autos. Like I know in 3 in Vice City they were pretty
3
tame.
Was pretty bad.
It was kind of bad. There was more innuendo. You know, it wasn't just straight out like it is in this one.
Are you talking the radio?
Yeah, the radio.
Or oh, okay, yeah, the radio. Yeah, yeah.
So.
But yeah.
That's my little bitch.
That's your little bitch. Well, should we go on about the whole like little features? Like, I mean, it is cool. Kind of a sidebar. I mentioned like the TV, the whole TV in the game, the radio, the fact you can play all these mini games like pool, darts, bowling, which is complete ass. I have only done it the one time ass. Where you had to go there. Other than that, I've not been back. Yeah. I think it's crap.
Darts is kind of fun.
Darts is fun, kind of easy but fun.
Yeah. I have one thing to say.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Republican Space Rangers.
That's hilarious. Oh my god.
It was awesome.
I love the TV. I watched one of the first days I had, I watched like the TV for about 40 minutes. I'm like, this is hilarious. But
that was really cool.
It does make you feel like more immersed. Again, the whole thing is like immersion. I mean, you're watching like even the comedy stuff, like, hey, I'm in Liberty City, and they make jokes about Liberty City and stuff like that. I'm like, that's kind of cool.
Indeed.
But then they have the ridiculous over the top stuff. Like there's that one that's supposed to be the, I can't remember what it's called, the one about the celebrities and them getting all messed up on drugs. And we're going to follow celebrities through their downfall. And I'm like, this is actually kind of not even funny. It's boring just because that stuff's been done to death.
Parody of sorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of hit or miss. Some of it's really good, though. But
what about the music? What are you guys happy with the music selections this year or this edition or what?
Kind of.
You know what? If I listen to the radio, I usually listen to the jazz channel because the music pretty much sucks.
Yeah, I don't think it's that good either. Yeah, usually I've loved, especially Vice City. Vice City has such a good soundtrack.
Yeah, it does.
But, and so did San Andreas. It's a really good one too. And this one, I'm kind of disappointed. In fact, I know I could, if I wanted to, just put on custom soundtracks, but I want it to be integrated in the radio. Like that whole thing, how they have the DJ come on in between the songs. He might say some ridiculous things here and there, but if they could do that with the custom soundtrack, I'd do that 100%. But
yeah.
I am overall disappointed in the music selection for this one.
Well, one thing I noticed with the radio is that it's not like, it's not like a playlist. They'll change it up in between songs. Like they'll actually be news reports, you know, talking about something that you just did in the game,
which
further adds to the immersion, but also, you know, steps out of the, you know, the playlisting that all the other Grand Theft Autos had. So I'll give them kudos for that at least.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So immense amount of detail.
Cool. Here, I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
How much did you play GTA 1 and 2 in London? Uh-huh. And do you like the fact that they moved it to 3D?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I only played 2 for a little bit on the Dreamcast. Never played London or the first one. So I didn't play it too much. I think I rented it. I played it for like Who was it that wrote in who said that they just played it for like an hour and that was about it? And that was basically what I did. Yeah, was it? I played it for like an hour or two and then was like, ah, I get it. And then once it turned 3D, I didn't buy into the hell. When GTA 3 came out, I wasn't even really – that was a time when I wasn't really following games too much. So I really was really under the radar and I don't even think I had a PS2 or Xbox at that point. I think I still had my Dreamcast. So I was still in my like blind to the other video game world saying, I love my Dreamcast. Sega's awesome. They will never die mode. And, you know, happy with my PSO. But I guess overall, I guess I'm happy because like the other GTAs, quite frankly, I thought they sucked. I didn't like it. The top-down thing, I'm like, I'm glad they went away from that because I like it now. So I have to say, yeah, I like that they went 3D.
Yeah.
I did too. Like Jeff, I didn't play the original ones too much. The hop to 3D with 3. I played the shit out of that. I loved that game. Still do. And played a lot of Vice City. San Andreas I kind of skipped over. It was just I wasn't into the subject matter, I guess. I don't know what the hell it was. Mm-hmm. But
yeah.
No, I'm really glad that they did make the jump to 3D.
I figured as much. Just wanted to know. Because I didn't actually play Part 1 and 2, but I saw some other people play them. Mm-hmm. And they just really didn't interest me. Yeah. But when 3 came out, I was the same way as Jeff. I really didn't know much about it. And I saw someone playing it, and I was like, wow, that's pretty good. And I started to get into it.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I couldn't play GTA the first two. Like, now I would never play them. That's kind of like a game that I really want to see them remade. I know it's kind of like going off in a tangent a little bit. And it's a game I kind of played recently again, but we talked about it not too long ago with Syndicate.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if they redid Syndicate, I don't know if they could do it as simply rehashing the other ones and make it better looking. I think they'd have to change a lot of the stuff with the gameplay around 100% to actually have it still, like, still hold people's interest these days. Because we can love, like, these remakes come out, but that, I don't know, games with that kind of, I'm not sure if it's the view or not, or how simple it was and whatnot, but to me, they don't hold up when a game with a more immersive world and kind of like more 3D tends to hold out up a little bit more. Yeah. Now, before people start writing, oh my God, Mario 3 still holds up. Yes, side scrollers and stuff like that and shoot 'em ups. Yes, those still hold up. But I'm talking stuff that's kind of like an open world on a 2D plane, not so much.
Yeah, I can see that, I guess.
Yeah, me too.
Cool. Well, I'm out of email, guys. Do you guys have any final thoughts? Any final gripes? I haven't heard Chris say too much here.
As I said, the only two that I've played are 3 and 4, and mm-hmm. I'm not even in that far into 4, not nearly as far as you guys are, so really? I'm kind of just chilling out back here, listening to what you guys have to say, and now I'm like, okay, now I want to go play it again, because you guys are talking about like these parts I haven't gotten to yet, and I'm like, oh, I want to get there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's some good missions, man.
I like the idea of like having a dude that sends you emails and has a car and, you know, says, go steal this car. Yep. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's interesting because then, you know, you're searching for it and, you know, you find it and you grab it and you go bring it to them. So that sounds interesting to me.
Well, Chris, the whole like relationship kind of engine or aspect of the game is actually pretty cool. Like you can decide to date certain people, where to go to date them. And you have to keep these, your contacts happy. Like you don't just contact them.
Oh yeah, I'm doing that.
I'm just letting you know, no, I'm not talking directly to you. I'm just saying in general that that's a pretty cool thing they did because that kind of keeps you're never really bored. Like if you just want to screw around, like it doesn't give you like GTA 3 and Vice City and San Andreas where it's like, okay, you either screw around or you do the missions. Like, no, you can screw around, do the missions or take someone on a date or take your cousin out for drinks and get drunk. I can't believe we haven't talked about getting drunk yet. That is like so friggin' awesome. Like the first time I was drunk, I did that for the first time
shortly after Jason talked about it. And I found myself driving like 3 miles an hour trying to, because I made the mistake of bringing the chick that you meet, the first chick that you meet.
Michelle.
I made the mistake of bringing her to a bar. So you leave and it's like you walk out the door and, you know, and all of a sudden he's standing there and he falls.
Yep.
And then he gets up and then he falls.
And he falls.
And he gets up and he falls. It's like, dude, are you going to walk? I mean, what the hell? And she's talking to you the whole time, like nothing's going on. It's like, so, you know, what do you like to do? I'm like, I can't walk.
Oh, really? The first time I got drunk with her, she was like, the whole time, she's like, you're drunk. And I'm like, and he's like, oh, why do you never drink when we go over to the bar? I feel like I'm the only one pounding the back. And she's just like, I don't know, it's just kind of not my thing, as I'm like falling onto cars and stuff. I'm like, oh my God. took her home.
I've got a funny story about her.
I got in the car and went like 5 miles.
I'm not that happy with her anymore, but we went on a few dates and she was kind of giving me shit about the clothes because I stole the original outfit, you know? She's like, you know, I liked that the last time I saw you in it. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to wow this bitch. So I went out and I spent $5,000.
Oh my God.
$5,000 on new clothes, all decked out in this nice suit and tie and stuff, pick her up. And she's like, did you wear that on the boat over? I mean, she's like, it's just not working. I'm like, all right, bitch. All right. That's were going to go, you know, shoot darts, but you know, now we're going to go to the bar and I don't think we're going to make it there. So I was just swiping cars and shit, and I was getting into fights with people, I ended up scaring her. So I had a great time on the date. She didn't. She ended up leaving.
Exactly. Oh, really? She left, eh?
She's like, you've scared off Michelle. She's like, you're just psycho.
Yeah. Have you dated anyone else in the game yet?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, I haven't yet. I'm trying to go, like, I went on the internet and sent out, like, messages to those girls, but it always comes back saying they're not interested or whatever.
No.
So I wonder if there's, like, a certain part in the game, maybe.
It's storyline,
like,
actually.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
I told... Go ahead.
Did I say my prediction last show, what I think Michelle is?
I don't know if you did or not. I think I know I told Chris what mine was, but...
I'm gonna guess... I'm just gonna say this as, like, a prediction. It's not a spoiler, because I honestly don't know the answer to this, but I think she's an undercover cop. I'm just gonna throw that out there. That's what I think she is.
Yeah, that's what I told Chris, too, before
that's
I found
what I think.
So.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
That's just my... who knows?
Could be right. Could be wrong.
That would be interesting.
If we're just going to spit out random stuff we like about the game or dislike, I mentioned the physics, but I love how they're just so unpredictable, and that's a lot of thing that keeps coming back, especially in like the free mode and stuff. But even in the main game, there's a mission where I'm sure you've done this, Jason. You're not too far, Chris, depending on where you are, but you have to go to a construction site and snipe these guys off the cranes.
Yeah.
Have you done that? And there's this one guy who drops, like, I don't know how many feet, like it's probably about from like 20 stories up or whatnot. And he lands on a car. And I do this mission about 2 or 3 times because I kept screwing up. Like I basically killed myself because the first mission you actually get grenades given to you. And I couldn't quite get used to the grenade throwing at first. So the first time I tried to throw one, I actually dropped it on my feet. And I'm sitting there watching, like, hey, when's this grenade going to go off? And that guy's boom, and I'm dead. I'm like, okay, yeah, okay, that's not how you throw grenades. And anyway, so the guy falls and hits a truck that's right underneath. And, of course, it sets off an alarm. He falls off. And then when I did the second time, he fell. But this time when he hit the truck, he bounced totally different and landed in a different, like, area. It was, like, pretty awesome. Like, wow, it's actually his real-time physics. Like, these things aren't scripted. Like, they're triggered, okay, boom, fall, and... whatever happens, happens. Which, another sidebar, sorry, before I end. You guys all have to try in multiplayer, or even the actual game, take a helicopter, fly it up to that tallest building. It's the building with the red, white, and blue on it. I can't remember what it's called. It's like in the middle island.
Oh, you know, I don't know.
It's got red, white, and blue at the very top.
Don't know.
You'll see it, like at nighttime, it lights up red, white, and blue at the very top. But you know, go up there, land on the top, or you can land kind of close to the top, and then just jump off. It takes like 10 seconds to hit the ground, but if you're lucky, you'll catch the lip of like a ledge when you're like halfway down. And just, you guys watch Titanic, whenever, I know it's like sad, yes, this part you shouldn't be laughing at, but every single guy who went and saw Titanic, because we all got suckered into it, knows this part I'm talking about, where the guy falls down, and he's falling, and all of a sudden his legs clip the ledge, and he starts spinning. Into the water.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's like that kind of effect. Yeah. And yeah, one time I actually spun into that and landed on a car on the road, and it was awesome. Like the thing crushes, the glass shatters. I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
It is amazing.
Get that replay.
It's really amazing. I know exactly what you're talking about, that mission. And yeah, he bounces off the car different every time, and I giggle.
Yeah.
I remember.
Yeah, exactly.
The first assassination mission that I have, where I had to like chase this guy down, and then we got to it, you know, fisticuffs match at the top of the tower or whatever, the construction site.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up, I pushed him out the window, but I don't know if he grabbed me or if I just fell along with him, but you know, the glass shattered and we're both like tumbling out this window, and then we both hit a ledge and it was epic shit. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
I really hope more games use that engine, the Euphoria engine. I think Force Unleashed is using that too, right?
Good.
I don't know. They're using three different ones. So it's possible. Right.
But yeah, it's awesome. I like it. It's like the new like Havoc engine, basically. How everyone and their grandmother used Havoc. Now I think it's going to be this one because it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, agreed. Cool.
Cool.
I'm trying to think if we missed anything.
Pacing of the game.
Chris.
I'm upset with the pacing of the game. You know, you mentioned before that
really?
You know, you've got you know, all kinds of shit to do. I feel stressed out when I'm playing the game. Like, I feel like I have to keep all of my contacts happy. I don't feel the...
Yeah.
I don't ever feel like I can just go and screw around, you know, because I've got three or four mission places that I can go to. I've got people calling me on my cell phone, sending me text messages. And then, you know, I get to a point where I've got three missions that I can't fucking beat because they're too hard. Just all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
I think...
And it's a hard game, dude. If, like, if you don't have armor and stuff, you get taken out pretty quick if you're out in the open and people are shooting at you.
So I'm not getting encouraged to do any free roaming, exploring, or anything like that. I feel rushed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of it.
Yeah.
But
it seems like I always get phone calls when I'm in the middle of a mission too. It's like, you know, roaming calls when I'm in the middle of something. It's like, dude, I can't talk to you right now. I'm you know, in the middle of a gunfight.
It almost seems like they that they do that on purpose. I had to go to a strip club and take someone out there. And on the way to the strip club, I got a phone call from Brucey, and he was like, dude, let's go see some tits, man. And I was thinking to myself at that time, I'm like, God, that's really funny. You know, I'm actually going to a strip club right now. But Nico said that. He was like, as it happens, I'm going to a strip club right now, but it's business, not pleasure. And he's like, I got to let you go. And that was it. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, at first that kind of got to me too, but it's kind of a little bit too realistic. But same time, like the main character, I don't think it has an direct effect on the game at all. I think it's more of like an illusion, because all that does is when you take the guys out, it just gets you to each, I don't think we mentioned this yet either, but all your contacts have like a special ability that they can bring you.
Right.
And the more times you bring them out, the faster you get to that special ability. So I think it doesn't really do anything in terms of the main storyline whatsoever, except for some dialogue and the fact that you'll get these abilities faster if you take them out a lot and hang out with them.
Huh.
So just kind of just ignore them, do your mission, then when done your mission, then be like, okay, I want to, you know, go out with this person a few times and whatever.
Right.
That's good to know.
That's another cool thing, too. Damn it. We've been talking about this for a long time, but when you replay missions, I love how they change the dialogue when you're driving in a car.
I was so surprised
by that. That is awesome. Like I remember reading that in reviews, and I was like, I never really experienced that yet till yesterday, where I did that mission, the one exactly what I'm talking about, where you have to drive to the construction site and snipe those guys. You're driving with that Dwayne guy, and the first time, that's one another complaint with all GTAs. If you fail a mission that you've been working on for like half an hour, you have to go back to the beginning of that mission, which is a pain in the ass. But so he's talking to you the entire time. You're driving over there, saying why you're going there, and just shooting the shit. And then, so when I had to replay the mission because I blew myself up, and we're driving over, and he's like, okay, here we go, let's dialogue again. But no, totally different conversation. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah. They didn't have to do that, you know?
No, definitely not.
Well, I don't know if I have anything else to add. I mean, I could, but, you know.
No, I think I think we should kind of.
Game's pretty amazing. Truly is.
It is good.
Go get it.
I think so.
If you don't have it yet, go get it.
Rent it.
Yeah,
totally.
That's all I can say. I think everyone will find some way to have fun with this game, at least. Yeah. Like, and they'll see past the flaws. It does have many flaws, but I think the good strongly outweighs the bad.
Yeah,
so
I'm with you. Cool.
Cool.
Move it along.
Well, normally we'd go on to new releases, but since most of the stuff's probably out already.
I just go into emails.
I guess we should mention, Jason, go ahead, man.
No, go ahead. No, what were you going to mention?
No. I was going to mention that WiiWare is out, and then I was going to let you talk about it.
Well, there's not much to say other than the WiiWare stuff is out. Go check it out if you have a Wii.
All right.
This is your segment. Jason picked up one of the games,
I
think.
Yeah, I got Lost Winds, and it's really good. And yeah, I like it a lot. And I'll actually talk about it more on the show. No, that one was $10. Cool. They've also got the Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, which anything with Crystal Chronicles makes me run away in terror. Or just shy away because it's kind of creepy. But yeah, that one's $15. It looks really good. What else? It's like a balloon pop kind of game. Some other shit.
Balloon pop.
Check out Lost Winds.
Nice.
Absolutely. I like that one.
Cool.
Yeah.
Other emails. Jason, do you want to let me do these, or do you want to keep going?
Oh, I'm good, man.
You did a lot.
I got it.
All right,
I
go
got
for
this.
It. I asked. You can't say I didn't
Jason
ask.
Jason Show.
Star Jason. Jason.
All right, emails. This one's from Duke City 420. What's up, Interactive Distractions? Just finished episode 23 and had a few things to say. I am glad you mentioned that people using the PSI are difficult to hear. I am one of those boneheads. I'm going to try and move the PSI closer to me when playing and see if you guys can hear me better. If not, I can try my Bluetooth Rock Band mic or old SOCOM headset. This also gives me a reason to buy / build a boom for the Rock Band mic. Good idea. Did you know that Digital Polyphony will patch Gran Turismo 5 and add better online modes, including buddy invite systems? Or do you think that they will save shit like that for the final version? I should now be able to start Warhawk. Wait. Wow. Two tangents. Yeah. I should now be able to start Warhawk as soon as the room is created, as I won the battle for the TV with my wife. She wants to watch American Idol, and I finally got her to accept watching it later. Thank heavens for our Comcast DVR. Keep up the good work, and thanks for Warhawk Wednesdays. You're welcome.
You are welcome.
Very welcome.
About the PSI thing, it's not moving it closer. It's just that the PSI picks up a lot of background noise. So no matter how close you are to it, it's still going to pick up that background noise. So it's
best probably to go with your SOCOM headset.
Agreed.
Yeah, I agree.
Go with USB. Stay away from Bluetooth because those a lot of people swear by them, say they work fine, but they still give off a lot of static and that kind of yelling down a tunnel kind of sound.
Yeah, they do. I've tried out a couple different Bluetooth headsets. Neither of them work very well. One didn't work at all, but no, I've got a USB one that works pretty good now.
Yeah. Yep. And with the GT, what do you guys think of GT5? I don't think they're going to patch any of that stuff into Prologue.
You don't think so?
I don't think they will at all. I think they might give maybe friends. Maybe they'll have the ability to invite your friends, but anything else, I can't really see them bothering because it is a Prologue. It is supposed to be just basically a demo of the final game, and I think it's just going to be wasting resources because especially if it's not already done or they're not already flat out working on it, I can't see them adding on to something that, one, they've already made a shit ton of money off of. And two, that they're going to want to get this game out probably 2009, but, you know, probably late 2009. So I can't see them adding anything much to it, except for maybe the ability to invite friends, which would be really, really cool.
Well, they said they were going to add the damage engine at one point.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's still going to happen, but it all depends on how they built the infrastructure. I mean, it could be if they make it if they make the pieces all separate – mm-hmm. Then it wouldn't be very difficult to just take a piece that you've just built for GT5 when it comes out for its full release and, you know, drop it in as a patch.
Yeah.
So it as I said, it really depends on how they build the infrastructure of the game.
Yeah. True.
It's hard to say. Polyphony Digital is pretty freaking awesome when it comes to programming in general. Mm-hmm. So I would not be surprised personally. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I don't see it
happening. It'd be nice.
As Jeff
and the voice.
It's just the demo.
Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I don't see them putting anything additional to it. No. We'll see, though. I mean, I think it would be awesome. But.
And the voice chat thing, I don't see them doing. Like, did they say? I'm kind of conflicted here because I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they might have said that they were going to add in voice chat. But at the same time, that game's pretty damn laggy. Unless you're lucky enough to get like a really good connection from everybody, because it's not a dedicated server. That's peer-to-peer. So unless everyone on that server and the person is like a good host, it's pretty laggy. And just adding voice chat on top of that will just make it a lot worse if they can't get that code, you know, like perfected. So it all comes down to resources. If they have the resources, then yeah, I think they will do it. But honestly, I don't think they will. I think they made some kind of light promises that I don't think they're going to get to. That's just what I think. I haven't heard anything about it. I mean, the game's been out for, what, a month now?
Something like that.
And I haven't heard a thing about any of these updates that they said before it came out that were going to happen shortly after release. So, we got our monies. Now wait for 5.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, Chris, I changed my mind. I think you should read the next two emails. Simply because I can't figure out which one to read first. They're both kind of connected.
Okay.
So
I'll read them in order. All right, this one's from Aces High. What's up with all the Haze hate?
By the way, I sent this before the Haze demo came out, by the way.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
I can answer this one.
I forgot to mention that.
Haze is being developed by Free Radical, who has a spotless FPS record for games. Ooh. Example, Time Splitters 1, 2, and 3. The idea of Nectar, The idea of Nectar itself is simply amazing. That's the way it's written in the email. A drug that boosts performance and just completely messes with you. Nectar does many things, letting you see a grenade or a melee attack before they happen. It steadies your aim. Nectar also allows you to run faster and have a melee blast, which when you hit an enemy with a melee, it will throw them about 15 feet straight back. That's only the mantle side of things. But in the interest of time, I'll just go ahead and tell you that Haze will be a great FPS. Blow is a bet. If Haze does not deliver, I give you free rein to just talk crap about me and how bad I choose games. We will do that
is
anyway.
Is Sevens considered bad? Because that's what I'm predicting it's going to get.
No, Sevens is, I think, considered good.
Okay.
But if Haze does deliver, I want one of you in disguise to make a commercial rejoicing how good Haze is and Nectar is, and the end theme to the episode has to be Korn song Haze.
Oh God!
Do you accept?
I will accept that. I will do that. But my suspicion is, Kate, the way that Haze is being hyped up by especially only PS3 owners, that it's going to be like a AAA first person shooter. I don't think it's going to be a AAA first person shooter. I think it'll get sevens.
Definitely not.
It'll definitely get sevens, but it's not going to be close to as good as like Resistance, Call of Duty 4, or any of those. It'll be on the same level as say like Time Shift, Perfect Dark Zero, and those games. For one, the whole Nectar thing. Did you not play Far Cry Instincts and multiplayer when you're the Predator? Like that's exactly what it is. And Chris, did you play the demo yet, Jason? I know Chris did.
I did. Yes.
And I couldn't even see the enemies unless I was using that Nectar.
Exactly.
I was a cripple. And this is something that I actually mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. I'm running around. Yeah. And it uses that same GTA 4 bloom effect where everything blends in together. I'm like, this jungle looks so good in like still pictures, but when you're moving around, there's so much blur and stuff. I'm like, oh God, I can't even see. Oh wait, use my Nectar. Oh, now I can see everything because it's all highlighted, just like it is in Far Cry or in Resistance when you're playing on the Chimera side and you use their special ability. I was like, nah. And Time Splitters were same thing. They were good games. I know they average really high scores, but they haven't changed from 1, 2, and 3, and they still have that floaty control that all Free Radical shooters had. Haze doesn't quite have that. It feels like a little bit more, the more the objects you interact with, as well as your character, has a little bit more gravity, like in weight to them. So it kind of feels more realistic that way, but it still has that run and gun kind of feeling that Time Splitters has. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Time Splitters. I know you guys aren't huge into first-person shooters, but it's not like a Halo or Unreal Tournament or a Resistance where I just feel like you can just kind of run through the levels and shoot. It's hard to explain. Kind of like you're going through a shooting gallery kind of thing. Like the AI has never been great, and I don't know. It's just, they've been good games and fun games, but I would not put them as great
spotless
games. And I think, yeah, definitely not spotless at all. Like, at least I wouldn't say so. But I'm interested in Haze. I will tell you that the Haze demo impressed me more than I thought it would, because I actually had a little bit of fun with it. But I will take that bet if you'll agree that I'd say the average score is going to be about 75 at the highest. At the highest. I think it's going to get 7.5-ish range. If it has to be higher than that, I'll take the bet. But if it has to be lower, then I don't know, because I do think it's an average shooter, which would be probably about a seven.
Well, here's the question then. His actual statement is, if it delivers, are you saying that if it's a 7.5 or higher average, then it did deliver?
If it's 7.5, well, it depends on which hype you're going to. You're going by the people that only have PS3 who think this is going to be like the best first shooter.
No.
Next to
I'm
whatever.
Talking about game rankings / Metacritic.
If it gets a higher average than 75, then yes, I will take that bet. Like then, I'm saying if that's what the thing is, if it's 75 or higher, and then 75 or lower, then yes, I will take that. So if deliver means it's above 75%, and doesn't deliver is under 75%, then yes, because I think that's what it. From just playing the demo, and from like impressions I've read on various sites, it looks to me like this is just going to be an average shooter, which would be probably around the 75% range.
Yeah,
fair enough.
There you go. There you go. I kind of want to do the commercial anyway. I think that'd be hilarious.
Yeah. And we'll end the episode with the corn song.
There you go. I'm fine with that. I'll totally do that. Let's see if he accepts, though. You know, the 75%. Does it?
I think that's fair.
Does it? Do you think it delivers what it's been promising, though?
No. Well, what has it been promising?
I don't know. Well, we haven't seen it enough.
Well, let's put it this way.
And that kind of gets into the next email. So let me go ahead and read it real quick. This one's from BB Ryukyu.
Mm-hmm. He owns my shit in Warhawk. I hate it.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to give some impressions on the Haze demo. What I kept hearing about Haze is that it was supposed to be innovative in terms of gameplay. Uh-huh. Things like throwing a nectar bomb into a group of enemies and watching them overdose and kill each other, or surprising an enemy and taking his weapon and then killing him with his own gun. All initially piqued my interest. So when I downloaded the big ass 1.5 gig demo,
that was huge demo.
I was expecting something like that. What I got was a shooting gallery in a jungle setting with the same really
derivative.
With some really derivative party members, and taking a shot of nectar that enables, besides the obvious run faster, hit harder, a predator-like vision, so I can shoot down big red blobs. After all the delays and tweaks, what do you think will be the fate of Haze? A hit, a niche game, or a flop?
I'm happy he said that he used the term shooting gallery, because that's what I stumbled into what to describe the Time Splitters games as, and yes, thank you. So I wasn't that much of an idiot.
You are vindicated.
Yes.
And validated.
Well, I mean, this is kind of, it sounded like this is where you were going. They have all these cool things that they said they were going to do with Haze as far as the gameplay goes, and we didn't see any of them.
No, nothing. And a demo, especially with this game Haze, has been delayed for over a year now, and was big promises after promise, and, you know, it was multi-platform game, then it was exclusive, then it was, oh, no, it's going to be multi-platform again, now it's back to exclusive, to delayed, to it's going to, you know, do this, and then they put out a demo, which usually when you're doing if you want to put out a demo of a game that has had this kind of, not negative publicity, but these kind of bad reactions to gamers because it keeps getting delayed and keeps getting promised things that looks like it might not deliver, and you put out a demo of a half-ass level with hardly any of the features that you bragged about, that's not good. Like, okay, no, you can play four-player co-op online, which is cool. That adds a little bit more fun to it, but again, you add multiplayer co-op to any game, and it's going to make it better.
True.
So I don't think it's going to be a niche. I think it's going to be a game that people will buy to fill that void for a week, and then once Metal Gear Solid 4 comes out, no one's going to play it again. I don't even think it's going to be a niche title.
Yeah, and I kind of agree. It's, you know, what he said was a hit, a niche game, or a flop. Mm. And I definitely don't think it's going to be a flop, but it's definitely not going to be a hit either. You know, I think it's going to sell average. It's going to be average. Yeah. You know, it's another shooter that has a few different, you know, pieces of gameplay that are thrown in, like the nectar grenade and the stealing stuff from your enemies. And that's, you know, I mean, that'll be fun for a while. And then it'll be, okay, I can see it ending up being more trouble than it's worth in some cases, you know?
It's gonna be the stopgap game between good games, and that game that people who like playing first-person shooters are gonna stop playing their first-person shooter of choice to see what it's like for like a week, and then they're gonna go right back to, if you have a PS3, you're gonna go right back to Call of Duty 4 and Resistance, or Rainbow Six Vegas. If you have a 360, same things, and just add Halo in there. That's the way Time Splitters was with most people. They sell pretty well, they score really well, but you try to find a game online with those games like later in their life cycle, and it was hard as hell. Mm-hmm. It's people just don't really, don't have long lasting appeal really. And unless then Haze hasn't really shown that it's going to be any different, at least not with the demo.
Well, it sounds like I liked this one the least. I did not like it at all. And I borderline flop on it. You know, I didn't like the textures at all. I thought it was really bland looking. I didn't even really notice much of the bloom effects. I just kept looking at the leaves and I'm like, wow, that's like a solid color. Wow. The dialogue is really, really corny, you know?
Oh my God. Yeah. I can take cheesy dialogue in a game like that though. Cause like, I mean, Gears of War has really cheesy dialogue too, but it's obviously done on purpose. And I think it's the same way in this case too.
This was,
at least I hope so anyway.
No, I thought the whole Nectar thing was going to be a cool mechanic. In retrospect, I'm really skeptical of it now, especially in like a multiplayer aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that you know you can take at a moment's notice that gives you an edge over everyone else like that, especially in large quantities, kind of breaks the game, I think.
Exactly, so really especially when you give that to everybody. It's like, what's the point?
Well, think about it this way in the multiplayer aspect, and this is the... Yeah, I'm not trying to really defend the game more than just give you another idea of what's going on. If you can tell someone is on Nectar at the time, then you hit them with a Nectar grenade and they go crazy.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point.
You know, and that, I mean, that's something that'll happen to multiplayer. So it's, I guess the question is, how well will they balance that?
Yeah.
You know, if they can get that balance right, I think it could be successful in that respect. Will it be more than just a stopgap, like Jeff says? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't, because when you look at first-person shooters on consoles throughout the last few years, Halo pretty much dominated, like that was what everyone wanted to get to. And then to actually innovate, to get people interested, you had to change something radically. And really that change didn't really come, like in that same kind of genre of first-person shooter until Call of Duty 4, which when they said, okay, you know what, our multiplayer is going to have leveling and you're going to be able to get these perks and you're going to have to do this, and that just made the game addicting as hell. People want to play it. And Resistance filled that gap because that was like a great game from the beginning that if you had a PS3, you got, and you like first-person shooters, and it did the job really well. You have Resistance 2 coming out, which is going to have ridiculous amounts of multiplayer options, ridiculous amounts of modes. And even though they're not saying they're going to do anything more innovative in the actual game, but they're offering you so much more and stuff that hasn't been done before. Whereas everything I've read about Haze, it sounds cool on paper, but when you think of how it's going to be done in the actual game, it's just stuff that we've already seen in some way, shape, or form. And that's why I don't think it's going to... Yeah.
And the big thing about Haze was, hey, we're going to be the first game to have four-player co-op, four-player co-op campaign.
Too late for
and
that.
That's great. Sure, you are, but
no, they're not.
It gets eclipsed by the fact that Resistance 2 is going to have a four-player online co-op, but it's going to be a completely different campaign.
Or the fact that Halo 3 had four-player online co-op and that released in September.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay.
So that's...
Why did I forget that?
I don't know. Because you didn't play it. Maybe.
Yeah, could be.
That might have something to do with it.
No, yeah, but I thought... for some reason, I thought it only had two for a while.
Yeah, four.
Anyway.
It was laggy, but it's four.
Anyway.
Well, that's another question. Will it be laggy?
Haze will be. Resistance won't be. Because Resistance will likely be on dedicated servers. Haze will not.
Oh, I guarantee
it. And Ubisoft, some of their games, multiplayer games, are laggy as shit.
True. Cool.
But I'm going to give it a chance.
I think we've exhausted that to death. Our short episode has turned to be close to a regular episode.
Yeah, no kidding.
Oops. All right, well, why don't we revisit the new question of the week and then just wrap up?
Sounds good.
So, first... Let's talk about what it is. The question of the week is, what is in your backlog pile and what keeps you from it?
I swear to God, we did not steal this from anybody.
Taco Bell.
We've been talking about this for weeks.
We need to actually, you know, because we've already gotten one email that said we stole the idea. Jason and I have actually, Jason came up with this idea. I will say that first. We've actually been talking about it back and forth for the past like 3 or 4 weeks now. And we had already had it scheduled to be the next episode before the Goo released their top five pile of shame.
And I was
stuff.
Even like, maybe so, we shouldn't do it. You know, they're doing it. Anyway.
But they've already done this to us once.
That's true.
Because we actually were talking about doing an East versus West RPG type feature, and then they said they were doing it, so we decided not to. So this time, what we're doing is not only are we, you know, we were talking with Scott, and we decided to do it in the same week. So we're gonna do the backlog/pile of shame week, but we're also gonna get some involvement with VG Evo. Mm-hmm. So we have something going on the back end there, and you guys will find out more about that when the next episode is released.
Mm-hmm.
So there we
still love the Goo, mind you. This isn't a, we're not at war.
The coup is awesome. You should definitely listen to it.
We're working with them.
Exactly.
That's right.
Collaboration.
Something like that.
So again, the question of the week is, what is in your backlog pile or pile of shame? And what keeps you from it? So after you, two different ways this works. After you answer the question of the week, send it on to the goo. Or after you answer the top five for the goo, send it to us. Either way, it'll work. And you can do that via email. Our email address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can also send us a voicemail, which we very much like. And I can't believe we didn't get any voicemails this week. We got so many emails and we didn't get any voicemails.
Nabo actually sent us something, but then he's like, don't play this on the show. Okay, bye.
I'm like, oh, see, we should have played it just because he said
Jason,
that.
Jason, I'm in love with you. I just wanted to let you
the
know.
The number is...
Don't play it on the show.
Don't play this on the
show. Acknowledge man kisses.
I have dreams of our lair-themed wedding.
Oh, that was painful.
That was Dragon painful. Rider.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
good luck controlling
voicemail line is...
Where the fuck were we?
Am I good to go now? Can I go now? Okay, voicemail line is 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. You can get us on Skype, Interactive Distractions, all one word. You can also get us on Google Talk, interactivedistractions@gmail.com. And don't forget Warhawk Wednesdays, which is
tomorrow.
Well, or today if you're listening.
Today. This would be today.
It's Wednesday.
Apparently, Scott Bitch Pig is going to set up the room from his connection and just leave it up. Because he's got other shit to do. And as a fallback, I don't know. I guess I'll pick up the Slack or something. But we shall see. Hopefully
sure we'll figure something out.
It'll stay open.
Do you want to give everyone the password? Because there might be people who don't go to VG Evo. Who go to VG Evo who might want to check it out. So what are they looking for here, guys?
They're looking for VG Evo.
The room name will be Interactive Distractions. And the password will be INDIS. INDIS.
Easy enough. If you forget, go to VG Evo. There's a thread. That's sticky.
You can message
you
one
to VG
of us.
Evo anyway.
And then we're going to have to back out of the game and go check out the XMB. We'll tell you what it is and we'll go back into the game and we'll do it that way too.
Odds are I'll just ignore it.
Exactly.
Yeah. My thought exactly.
No,
I got a message from someone.
I was outside having a cigarette. I really.
I was too enthralled in the game. I didn't notice the little pop-up. Cool. Well, you guys have anything final to add?
No.
Not at this moment.
Cool. All right. Well, that is it for this episode of Interactive Distractions. This short but not so short episode. So, until Monday of next week, or, 2 days from now when we record again, I am Chris Riccio, and for Jason A. Stryker and Jeff Chorney, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Cheers.
We'll see you next week.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.